The mycoplasmas are the most complex of the Lyme co-infections, and the range of actions in the body is extremely broad. So because of their scavenging, to replace those nutrients rather than taking boatloads of supplements, focusing on food as nutrition and replacing all those is really, really important. You need a really, really, really good diet. And this is not the place to have any old food issues coming up, or it's really the place to, food is medicine. So when designing a mycoplasma protocol, replacing the nutrients that are scavenged, and there's an urban myth going around that if you take B vitamins or if you're taking nuts and seeds, you're feeding the mycoplasma. What's true is the mycoplasma is doing just fine feeding off your cells and your cilia. What you need to do is feed your mitochondria, feed your body, keep your strength up, replenish the nutrition. They'll do it with or without your cooperation. So you don't experience nutrient depletion and wasting, which is a reality with this disease. Reduce the cytokine cascade that the bacteria initiate. That goes a long way toward relieving symptoms and infection. Support and protect the organs and systems that the mycoplasma affect. Specific mycoplasma antibacterials to at least severely restrict their numbers. And address specific symptoms. And mycoplasma infections can be reversed. The damage, a huge percentage of the damage can be reversed. Our bodies are incredibly resilient and restorative and regenerative. They just need our help and our cooperation sometimes. So to counteract the degree of inflammation in the body, the quantities of herbs and supplements, and this particular one has to be pretty high and very consistent, even more so than Lyme disease. To turn the physiological condition around and make the environment unpleasant enough for that mycoplasma population significantly drops. And the protocol can be taken alongside any antibiotic. There's only a couple of instances where some of the herbs will potentiate the effects of antibiotics. So pomegranate juice is a really good carrier for some of the herbs and supplements. It's anti-inflammatory, has some antibiotic properties. It's used in different forms in different parts of the world. India, Asia especially use pomegranate juice or dried pomegranate rind for fighting infections. So the first one in this list is cordyceps. Cordyceps is a mycelium. The Tibetans have been using it for thousands of years. It's mycelium that grows out of the bodies of insects. But they've been able to grow it in vats, much like penicillin. Cordyceps, along with knotweed and a bunch of other, I have my 10 top herbs that if I had to go somewhere where there weren't any plants, God forbid, these are friends that would go with me. Cordyceps is one of them. It's an adaptogen. The dosage is, in a tincture, a quarter teaspoon, 3 times daily, or the powder is 1 tablespoon, 3 times daily. In capsules, 2,000 milligrams, 3 times daily. Capsules, 2,000 milligrams, 3 times. Chinese skullcap. For the nervous system, brain, calming the nervous system, can help with sleep, repairs damage. A tincture, quarter teaspoon, 3 times a day. Powder is 1 teaspoon, 3 times. Capsules, 1,000 milligrams, 3 times. Isatis, it's an invasive species. You can get this, it's not real available. First Chinese Herbs has it. Sage Woman Herbs in Colorado Springs carries a tincture of it. ISATIS. Antibacterial, antiviral. The only caution with this is I don't use it much more than 30 days, and then to watch for internal cold. So if the core temperature starts getting cool, then discontinue ISATIS, but it's a very important in this infection. The dosage, the tincture is best, half a teaspoon three times a day. Houtinia, Houtinia. A tincture, a quarter teaspoon three times a day. This is antibiotic, antiviral. Houtinia. Oh, the dosage is a quarter teaspoon three times a day. Cita acuta. It's one of my favorites. I have almost everyone on this, and everyone using it sort of falls in love with this herb. It's an invasive species. What? S-I-D-A. A-C-U-T-A. All right, thanks. N-acetylcysteine is a supplement. It's real important because it breaks down fibrogen, the biofilms, keeps the blood. NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Protects the brain. It's 2,000 milligrams in the morning, 2,000 just before bed. 30 drops, three times a day. That can actually go... people are using it across the board from 5 drops, if they're really, really sensitive and really very, very ill, to 60 drops. 3 to 4 times a day. Because it's an invasive species. And every time I process it, I clear all my mucous membranes because there's something in it just sneeze ferociously. So if anybody harvests this and dries it, it will clear... It's nuts. I had one of my apprentices process it last year, and he had to get one of those painter's masks on because he's in there for hours processing Cita and sneezing.
What's the color of Cita acuta?
That is it.
Oh.
And it's the Latin name, too. Oh, you know, there are some other local common names, but I don't know what they are. Cita, yeah, that's a different species, right? Rhombifolia and cordifolia. Right, depending on where they're growing. It's a neotropical. It loves damp, wet, you know, coastal regions, Florida, up along the coast, Brazil. Okay, olive oil. Olive oil is really important because it's anti-inflammatory. It really helps if you can get 2 ounces in a day, one in the morning and one at night, and either drinking it or adding it to food. And it's even better if you infuse it with olive leaf. The olive leaf and olive oil potentiate each other, and they have a little bit different actions. Protecting the brain, olive leaf is anti-inflammatory. It's potentiated if you infuse it with the olive oil. Okay, so that's the mycoplasma core protocol. So cordyceps, Chinese skullcap, ISATIS, Houtinia, Cita acuta, N-acetylcysteine, olive oil. And an immune formulation is a combination, tincture combination of Schizandra, Eleutherococcus, and Rhodiola. In equal parts, half a teaspoon three times a day. Rhodiola. Eleuthero. When I started taking rhodiola, it was a half a teaspoon and twice a day. And on the second day, my first dose of the second day, I started getting what felt like the beginning of an anxiety flare, not anxiety attack, but, you know, nerves kind of jangled and a little jittery. So if that starts to happen, then reduce the dose of rhodiola.
And you said equal parts of of each of those three, but how much was the dose? I got three times a day, but...
Half a teaspoon.
And you said NAC breaks biofilm. Does it do?
It protects the brain, and it's a blood thinner.
Are there herbal sources of
NAC? No, I don't think so. There are food sources.
You don't mind me asking.
I don't mind you asking. I mind that I don't have it immediately retrievable in my little brain. Okay, nutrient replacement. Maybe it's in here. Daily intake of eggs, calf or beef liver, oysters, one Brazil nut for the selenium dosage every day, sesame seeds, avocados, chlorella. So earlier I mentioned that it scavenges DNA and RNA, so you need to replace that, and the best sources of that from food. You know, hospitals have DNA, RNA replacement, but from food, it's chlorella and cordyceps. Drinking pomegranate juice during the day. And if you can afford it, especially in cases of wasting, fermented wheat germ extract. It's obnoxiously expensive. It's like $150 a month. But I know, I haven't looked into this, but there are some YouTube videos online that tells you how to make fermented wheat germ. It's a powerhouse of nutrition, and it really stops that wasting, that decline of wasting disease. Yeah, the mushrooms, people ask, you know, I have candida, can I take mushrooms? The mushrooms are not going to affect candida, but the fermented wheat germ does. Is contraindicated.
Julie?
No. Avamar, I think, is the commercial name for it. One of the reasons it's obnoxiously expensive is because they use it in cancer treatment. Okay, so that's the core protocol quickly. And then you go, depending on symptoms, you can go in different directions. So with urinary tract infections, Bidens, B-I-D-E-N-S. Bidens is really good for resolving mucous membrane infections and bacteria. It's really good for, I accidentally found out about it for resolving sinus infections because I was teaching one day with my students and I was teaching with a massive sinus pressure and sinus headache, and about 20 minutes later I realized I'd been unconscious. Some part of me kept taking the Bidens, and pretty soon this just opened up. The pressure was gone, the infection was down.
Is Bidens it?
Bidens isn't invasive. It's also called, some of the local ones are beggar's ticks, beggar's tick, avens, what?
Cleaver?
Nope, it's not cleavers. But it does cleave, the seeds. They're like little needles, and your pets bring them in the house, and you step on them, you go, ah, and swear. Yeah, they're very, very sharp. But it's a really cool, cool plant. Above ground. Fresh is best.
And how do you use the whole plant?
The whole plant above ground, not the roots. And you can tincture it fresh, juice it.
Can you find it?
You can. There's only a few places. Giving Tree Botanicals in Vermont has it. But I know this is happening with the Sita because it's so hard to get a hold of, and Woodland Essence runs out of it easily, quickly, and they're limiting supplies. Okay. So, you know, the native plant people are just going to lynch me for saying this, but I really think invasive plants are here for a reason. They have a function, and they're becoming so important in fighting these diseases. So even growing them in your greenhouse or... You can't contain them because, you know, once they go, oh, a new place to live, this is fun. But invasive plants for medicines. And looking around, you know, contact your native plant society or local botanist. They know different species of plants that are growing near you. These likely be in them.
So Sita is invasive also?
It is. Okay, with cervix and vaginal infections, berberine plants, you know, when berberine, you know, think phellodendron and golden seal, Oregon grape. I have a protocol for cervical dysplasia. If anybody wants that, I can give it to you. I've used it when my cervix was sick.
Yes, please.
Now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to move through this. All right. Okay, so you take Echinacea angustifolia. It must be angustifolia, not purpurea, because I'm prejudiced. powder it up, and you make a suppository out of it. You powder it up, put glycerin, a little bit of rice flour, some kind of a binder. Powder it up, make a suppository just so it's sticky. It's going to be a little sticky, but firm enough that you can shape it. Put it in, wrap it up in foil or wax paper, put it in the freezer, and then cut off little suppository sizes, and you insert it and sits on your cervix at night. It really comes in contact with the cervical tissue. It sits there all night, and then in the morning you make a douche of usnea, just growing up here in the mountains. Powder the douche of usnea, make a strong tea out of it. Quart, douche with that in the morning, and you do that suppository at night and the douche in the morning I did it for 7 days, and then I made another suppository and I introduced calendula with the echinacea and made a new suppository of those. It sits on your cervix at night and then douche again in the morning.
Also,
yes, and with that I did a anti-cancer diet, and any spiritual traditions that you have, it works.
How long do you...
2 weeks. Okay, I'm getting signaled that it's time for a break. Really? Yeah, okay. Right. Oh no, we're almost done. This is terrible. Yes. Does the basic mycoplasma protocol, it's the core protocol for mycoplasma regardless of the species, but then you adjust it because each species, even though they can infect every organ in your body, like the genitalium one will go to the genitals and reproductive system. So you fine tune it and focus it for those symptoms.
Which were you done with that? Or are you going to pick up with that?
Which part?
You started going through.
Right. Oh, I did.
Specific.
Yep.
You have more of that after break.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
It is. Here, I'll give it to you. Okay. Okay, cervical, vaginal, did that. Another one is Biden. So anytime mucous membrane, Biden's, think Biden's. Mucous membrane resolution. With severe anemia and red blood cell, Sida acuta protects and rebuilds and makes new red blood cells. Also with anemia, N-acetylcysteine, Biden's. Now you won't go through dosages again because this is on your handout. But you can go through your handout as I'm saying this and make initials on what they're going to treat. With nerve destruction, myelin sheath, nerves, Chinese senegal root. I don't have that. That one's not on your sheet. That is bad of me. Chinese senegal root. Nerve destruction. 30 drops of the tincture 3 times a day for 30 days.
Is it senega?
Senega. S-E-N-E-G-A root. Lion's mane. It's a mushroom, grows around here. 3 to 8 grams a day. Is that on there? Lion's mane has this really unique component. It has NGF, which is neuronal growth factor. It actually grows new neurons.
Julie, can you do the dosage on the chart?
30 drops of the tincture, 3 times a day, 30 days. With neural pain, greater celandine tincture, theramine, which is a prescription-only nutraceutical, I've heard from clients, if they can get a prescription, it's been really, really great for managing pain. Theramine, T-H-E-R-A-M-I-N-E, and reduces inflammation. Okay, anxiety, passiflower, motherwort, passionflower, nervines, think nervines, coral root, you know, oats, the milky oats, even oatmeal. It takes about a month, but if you eat a little oatmeal every day, it's going to really nourish. It's very nutritious to the nervous system. Sleep, melatonin liquid. Ashwagandha, again, is real calming to the nervous system, and ashwagandha is it's very specific and important. I've got almost everybody with neurological symptoms, because it repairs the myelin sheath, protects the brain, calms the nervous system. It's one of my favorite, one of my friends.
That would be good then for somebody.
Yes. Quarter teaspoon 1 hour before bed of the tincture or powder or capsules. You know, 1,000 milligrams. One of my favorite sleep remedies is motherwort tincture. Motherwort has to be a fresh plant tincture. It's superior, and it's got antiviral properties, antibacterial, heart protective. You know, the Latin name for motherwort is Leonaris cardiaca, lion-hearted. Very, very calming to the nervous system. So if I need to sleep, one of my favorite remedies is I'll make sort of my version of a cordial with, but it's not really a cordial, it's just a motherwort tincture, half an ounce to an ounce. An ounce is a lot. It will knock your socks out. It will knock you out. Sometimes I'll put pedicularis in there, elephant head, or lousewort is another name for it. Those two combinations are tremendously, the pedicularis is a muscle relaxant, P-E-D-I, C-U-L-A-R-I-S, pedicularis. Muscle relaxant, pain, and that combination puts you into a really wonderful sleep. But sometimes it takes higher doses, but there are other benefits. Those herbs have other benefits as well, especially motherwort. With severe fatigue, Eleutherococcus, rhodiola, schizandra.
That's that mixture you said before.
Yeah, I don't have schizandra on this list either. Okay, rhodiola. No, astragalus is. Is ashwagandha contraindicated for late stage or chronic? It's not. Let's see where we at here. Oh, joint involvement, rheumatoid arthritis. Greater celandine, again, for pain. Ashwagandha, it's also anti-inflammatory. Green tea extract, EGCG. And you can add, you know, teasel root. Some people say chondroitin, glucosamine sulfate. I personally haven't really noticed a lot of that, but you certainly can add glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin. But chondroitin is strongly contraindicated if there's central nervous system involvement. Glucosamine's fine, chondroitin not. For wasting, shiitake mushrooms and the fermented wheat germ. Chlorella. But shiitakes, is anybody using mushrooms? They're real enervating and just, they feel like they go to the core, your core, right? And then thinking, you know, very, very, very good diet, eggs, beef, liver, oysters. What needs to be replaced are the B vitamins, enzymes, amino acids. I'm a big fan of honey, bee pollen, royal jelly. Get, you know, all your Bs, your Cs, your enzymes, amino acids. Great food medicine. They reduce inflammation. They're antimicrobial. Okay, choline, zinc, copper, selenium. Amino acids, the most important one is L-arginine, but L-arginine cannot be supplemented if there's any active signs of herpes virus, shingles, chickenpox, genital herpes, oral herpes. RNA, DNA, again, for boosts memory sharpness, mental sharpness, counteracts damage to the brain, improves digestion, increases energy. That's, you know, chlorella, cordyceps. Chlorella is also, you know, a heavy metal detoxer. So if you're taking chlorella, it's pulling metals, so make sure your bowels are moving efficiently, regularly, daily. Fatty acids, replace those. Coconut oil, cordyceps also has some fatty acids. It's high in oleic acid. Olive oil, substances are potently anti-mycoplasma. Up, olive oil, yeah. As well as source of fatty acids. Let's see. All right. So, and cordyceps is specific. Cordyceps, Chinese skullcap, and N-acetylcysteine are potently shut down some of the cytokine cascades from mycoplasma infection. Cordyceps is an immunomodulator and adaptogen. It can reverse insomnia, but it takes about 4 to 6 weeks. You'll start to notice sleep is starting to be regulated. And you can take it in high doses, like a tablespoon, 3, 4, 6 times a day. Chinese skullcap, Scutellaria basilensis is the name of that Chinese skullcap. They use the root. And it's specifically the Chinese skullcap, not the American one. It's the American one's not a substitute for this in mycoplasma. It's top of the list for mycoplasma and co-infections, especially respiratory infections. Encephalitis, Lyme, Bartonella, impaired brain function, fevers, GI tract disorders with inflammation, liver and kidney inflammation. It's a potent synergist with pharmaceuticals, herbs, and supplements, helping to increase their presence in the systems. And as a side note, melatonin detoxifies hydrogen peroxide. And melatonin is a strong antioxidant for the brain. Yeah, and some people it can cause, like over 2 weeks, it can cause some nightmares in a certain percentage of people. It can cause headaches. And that's why I like the liquid, because you can monitor the dose better. Like sometimes in some of the liquids, one drop will work with no side effects. But it does have side effects. And everybody's chemistry is going to respond a little bit differently. That's why some of these herbs also contain melatonin as part of their constituent makeup. Like in younger people, there's no real necessary need for supplementing with melatonin. Then look at other herbs and sleep remedies for them, because they're going to have issues too, but they don't need melatonin necessarily. Whereas we get older, you know, we lose our levels of melatonin drop. Chinese skullcap also protects the hippocampal neuronal cells, protects the mitochondria from oxidative damage, and is antidepressant.
Is that also called
No. NAC also, this is, you know, done with the Chinese skullcap. NAC, N-acetylcysteine, inhibits hydrogen peroxide. It's a common problem in mycoplasma infections. It thins and loosens and clears mucus from the lungs and airways, protects the cilia, and it's a helpful in septic shock where the organs start to shut down. So N-acetylcysteine, if you start it as part of the core protocol, it's going to protect a lot of those symptoms or systems. Septic shocks causes an overwhelming infection that causes a severe drop in blood pressure, and then septicemia when things start to shut down. It protects against neurotoxicity throughout the central nervous system, protects the brain, mitochondria, reduces edema, protects the entire nervous system from inflammation, inhibits biofilm formation by the bacteria, NAC. Okay. Well, I'll say a little bit about Chinese senegaru because I just threw it out there. It impacts cognitive function, enhances memory, alleviates neurotoxicity, has positive effects on the treatment of Alzheimer's and dementia, depression, degenerative diseases, very good anti-inflammatory. One of the most important actions of Chinese senegaru root is that it enhances the secretion of neuronal growth factor, similar to lion's mane. They stimulate new neurons in the brain, the spinal cord, and peripheral nervous system. Okay, antibacterials. Fermented wheat germ does show up as active against mycoplasma bacteria. Cita acuta, Bidens pilosa, we talked about earlier. Cryptolepis sanguinaria. Cryptolepis sanguinolenta. It's used primarily for Bartonella, but I've been using it extensively with mycoplasma infections as well, with very good results. It's a systemic herbal antibiotic. It grows in West Africa, in Ghana, and along the West Africa. They use it long-term, daily, small doses as an anti-malaria. So malaria, babesia, right? Pomegranate is antibacterial. Isatis, of course, potentiates the effectiveness of viral vaccines as an immunostimulant, anti-inflammatory, fever reducer, specific for Epstein-Barr herpes viruses. I use Isatis for herpes viruses, cytomegalovirus, staphylococcus, candida, leukemia, liver cells, liver cancer cells. Plutinia has a wide range of actions. It's antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, antimicrobial, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. Emmenagogue, it stimulates the blood flow in the universe. In the universe.
That's amazing.
I know. Herbs are so cool, aren't they? They can do anything. Fever reducer, hypoglycemic, it's a laxative, analgesic. It's strongly active against Mycoplasma hominis, herpes simplex, 1 and 2, influenza, SARS, dengue virus, cytomegalovirus, avian infections, bronchitis, candida, tuberculosis. Houtainia. Probably not. Can I spell it? H-O-U-T-T. Yeah, it's on there, right? Yeah, okay. Respiratory intestinal infections. Okay. There have not been any contraindications or side effects noted with Houtainia. First Chinese herbs carries it. Do you guys have it?
Not yet.
Okay. Woodland Essence carries it. Okay. All right, we're moving through this pretty good. Pomegranate juice, inhibits growth of breast, prostate, colon, and lung cancers. Corrects inflammation in arthritic knees. Is highly antioxidant. And it's systemic and widely circulated throughout the blood. It's a synergist with many herbs. Berberine plants will only inhibit about 50% of cholera bacteria, but with the addition of pomegranate, the bacteria all are inhibited. So 50% it potentiates berberines. It may lower blood pressure, it may not. I'm getting loopy now. Okay, noni is a good adjunct, a support. Vitamin A, 600 micrograms daily.
Vitamin A,
and good sources are eggs, liver, fish, liver oils, carrots, sweet potatoes, squash. Proteolytic enzymes, I haven't talked about them yet. They inhibit mycoplasma fusion with host cells. Red blood cell protection is the Ceta, Acuta, Bidens, Cryptolepis. And I put hawthorn in there too. Does anybody use hawthorn for red blood cells and endothelial cells? Endothelial protection, Japanese knotweed, top of the list. It's a world-class plant, broadly systemic. Modulates the immune system. I talked about this earlier, but Japanese knotweed as a secondary protocol. And Bartonella and mycoplasma. Motherwort is an important supportive herb, not just for sleep and the nervous system, but it provides protection from mitochondrial infection. And it protects the integrity of the mitochondria. And their functions, and reduces anxiety, panic attacks. I have some people just carrying around a tincture and taking a dropper full if they need it. And you feel like you've got this nurturing, supportive, loving energy coming in and holding you. It's that motherwort, just loving energy. What?
Mother.
Like mother, yes. Yeah, it protects the mitochondria in the brain, anti-inflammatory through the entire central nervous system. It will make blood pressure-lowering pharmaceuticals more effective, so their caution should be exercised if you're combining motherwort and blood pressure-lowering medicines.
Do you ever use St. John's wort as an anti?
I haven't, but you certainly can. I just, you know, some plants, medicines I'm really, really attracted to, and some I just haven't, you know, like people. But yeah, what works for you, expand it. If you have a relationship with it, you know it, and you can ask the plant to work. You know, you've got somebody who's ill, and, you know, letting the plants know what you need them for potentiates them. They can change their chemical cascade to help you out if you have a relationship with them. Okay, any questions while I'm looking for this next bit of information? I don't want to repeat myself. I think I'll just go into, Bartonella.
What's the sleep remedy for wakefulness during night?
It depends in the scope of infections. Talking about. It's nice to have a liquid melatonin next to the bed. A couple drops will help you go back to sleep. Oh, I've been using homeopathics box, you know, the Bach rescue remedy. They have a sleep remedy or sleep rescue. And it comes in a spray, a couple squirts in your mouth, or tablets that you chew, but they taste really bad. But they help. They help you go back to sleep. Motherwort next to your bed. It takes about 20 minutes for that to work. The homeopathic's a little bit quicker, but it's going to take about 20 minutes, you know, to go back to sleep. And then what I do instead of letting racing, somebody, I think Shay says she uses passion flower to stop that circular, those thoughts racing. Passion flower will calm the thinking, active monkey mind, chatter. Yeah, tincture of it. And what I do is I look at, you know, it's dark, but I look at the back of my eyelids and I breathe through my heart and it stops me thinking. And if I really focus on it, then I can go to sleep quicker, a lot quicker, like breathing, a type of meditation. Weight loss problems can be a problem, mycoplasma, because it's so debilitating and wasting, you know, the wheat germ and shiitake mushrooms. Okay, any questions about mycoplasma? Okay, great. Bartonella.